Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you know how we like to do it. We did it once for the Father, a second time for the Son, and a third time for the Holy Spirit. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Make some noise in this place. Come on. Yeah. I got to tell you, I am truly, truly blessed to be here and to be a part of this wonderful congregation. And as I was sitting there worshiping and listening to the music, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it is a wonderful thing that these people have gotten up here and led worship, but I'm just so sorry that they got to put up with me today. I mean, really, I just don't know how to come behind. Now, let's give God a hand praise for that ministry. We are so grateful for not only that ministry, but for all that goes on here at Mimosa. We want to certainly be in prayer for our pastor and all the other persons who are away on the missions trip, and we want to give God a hand praise for the staff here. Come on, Amen. Everybody works so hard, and sometimes you feel unappreciated, although we know that we're not doing it for the recognition. We know that they do it for the Lord, but we still want to give credit where credit is due. Amen. Amen. Now let's turn in our Bibles today to the Gospel of Matthew. I want to feel led to call your attention to Matthew chapter 16. And thank you, Randall, for that prayer. And just want to thank God for just everybody here. You guys have really been encouraging to me. Really been encouraging to me. And it's sad that I call Rocky sometimes. I just whine to him. God bless his soul. He sits there and he takes it. And it is a wonderful thing. And Randall and Bob, they drive over and take me out to lunch, and I whine to them. You know, amen. And we thank God for them as well. That's right. So I thank God that he's given me people to whine to. Amen. That's right. But don't y'all get confused. I don't want nobody calling me and whining to me. I do the whining. Is that clear? No, I'm joking. Amen. But there's a passage of scripture that I've been wrestling with, and the Spirit of God always seems to draw me back to this passage of scripture. And I was reflecting on the sermon last week and reflections on 9/11 and that sort of thing. Powerful, powerful message. A needed word that needed to be spoken. But I feel led to deal with this particular passage of scripture. And I must admit, it comes out of my own personal struggles and walk with the Lord. Amen? So I thank you all for being patient with me. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28 will be the passage that will be our focus this morning. Matthew 16. Amen. It's just good to be here, isn't it? It's just good to be here. Yes, it is. Good to be here. Matthew 16. When you get there, say, thank you, Lord. In verse 24, the Bible says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We want to call this one the living dead. Amen. You know, I watch TV and I'm a big-time sports fanatic, and what I notice is from time to time they'll show all these commercials for these video games. And I must confess that the video games that they have out for children now are nothing like the video games that we had when I was coming up, you know. Amen. And for those of you who don't know, I grew up with the good video games. Amen. That's right. Ain't no school like the old school. That's right. I'm talking about the video games like Pac-Man. Anybody remember Pac-Man? Yeah, that's right. That's the good stuff. Little yellow head just in a maze, just going up and down the board, eating stuff and trying not to be eaten, right? Phil, you remember Space Invaders, right? Love Space Invaders. Then we had Asteroids. Those were good video games. But let me tell you, my wife and I, we do not have a Wii. I think I said it properly. We do not have the Sega or the Genesis or the PlayStation or any of that stuff in my household, because we just don't want our children playing with that stuff. And that's not a judgment call on anybody else, but this is just my personal conviction. But some of these video games are just, as we say in our contemporary vernacular, off the hook. And years ago, when I was pastoring a church, I got into a lot of hot water because I said to the congregation that there are some video games that you ought not let your children play. There's this one video game, I think it's Grand Theft Auto. Don't quote me, I'm not the video game hipster. I trust you understand that. Where you get points for not only stealing cars, but you get points for picking up prostitutes and not only having sex with the prostitute, but beating the prostitute. Now, I'm not sure if that's the right game, but one of those video games were out a few years ago. That's just unacceptable. You know? And I took the passage of scripture where Jesus talked about adultery, and he told the crowd that if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Well, Lord, have mercy. It just stands to reason that if you decide that you're going to rape a prostitute in a video game and get points for it, then Lord, have mercy. Are you committing rape in your heart? Is that acceptable for our children? Is that acceptable for adults? Absolutely not. But I saw a commercial for this one video game. I can't think of the name of it. I'm sure you've heard of it, where you get points for killing zombies. And you know what zombies are. Zombies are supposedly people who have died because they've been bitten by vampires or something. I really don't understand. But they come back to life. And they're actually people who are walking around alive, although they are, in fact, dead. And young people, I just want you to know that the Christian life is a lot like being a zombie. We are actually the living dead. Because although God, through Christ, has raised us up to a wonderful life through his son Jesus, we are still supposed to be dead to ourselves and dead to the affairs of this world. The sad reality is that some of the problems that we have in our churches, many of the problems that we have in our churches, is because we have failed to embrace this principle of being the living dead. I read somewhere where the numbers for the numbers of abortions are supposed to be just as high in evangelical churches as they are outside of evangelical churches. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the numbers they're reporting are. The divorce rate is just as high in evangelical Bible-believing churches as it is out there in the world, supposedly. I don't know if it's true or not. But you and I understand that there are some challenges that we have faced in our congregations simply because we have not embraced this principle. We have embraced this lie that says, God wants me to be happy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Since God wants me to be happy, it stands to follow that if I encounter something in my life that's not convenient for me to have or to do, then it must not be God's will. Like if I'm having a bunch of problems in my marriage with my spouse, well, God wants me to be happy, so he wants me to dispose of this spouse and get a new spouse. That's not holy. That's not God's will. Well, if I get my fiance, my wife, my girlfriend, whatever, if I get her pregnant and we have an unwanted pregnancy, well, then, you know, God wants me to be happy so we can dispose of this thing that we call a fetus. It's not a fetus, it's a child. I'm not a scientist, but I have enough sense to recognize that life begins at the point of conception. That is the way God ordained it. And just because I can't look under a microscope and see the hands and the feet, the eyes and the ears and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't mean that that child is not alive. It simply means that that child is not fully developed. Don't fall for that lie. And God forbid, if anybody in here has fell for that lie before, let's understand that there is grace for you, my friend. Not in the future, but God has grace for you right now. He still loves you. He still cares about you. And he still wants you and welcomes you into his presence through his wonderful son, Jesus the Christ. So we have this theology, we have this mindset that says that God wants me to be happy. And consequently, if I encounter something in my life that does not make me feel good or it's not convenient, I can just get rid of it. But I'm here to let you know that that is not the case. If you and I are born again believers of Jesus Christ, if you and I are walking hand in hand with the Savior, if we are following in his footsteps, we are in fact the living dead. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus himself lays out what we're highlighting today. That is four principles with regard to the living dead. The first one is found in verse 24. It says, Jesus said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." My brothers and sisters, right there in verse 24, we have the requirements of the living dead. What does it mean to walk with the Savior? What does it mean to walk with the Lord? What does it mean to be a footstep follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let me tell you what it means. This is what he himself said. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. Do you realize that we would have a lot less trouble in our churches if we practiced some self-denial? I don't mind telling you. I'm the kind of person, I wear my feelings on the sleeve. That's always been my weakness. I can't hide my facial expressions. If I knew how to play poker, I would be a horrible poker player. I just can't do it. When I'm happy, everybody knows I'm happy. When I'm sad, everybody knows I'm sad. When I'm angry, everybody knows I'm angry. I just can't hide it. And one of our church members, she shared with me, she said, "Al, it's good to see you. And I just want you to know we've been praying for you, and I hope you'll be praying for me, because my daughter, she married this guy and things didn't go well, and consequently he's decided to kill her, and he wants to kill me too because I'm her mama." And I listened to her talk, and she talked about how the Lord has watched over them and how the Lord is dealing with that situation with that young man and the law is involved and all that kind of stuff, and it looks like they're going to be okay. But I don't mind telling you, when I hear stories like that, the dog in me comes out. Can I get a witness? That's right. God forbid that the devil would put it in some person's mind to be foolish enough to threaten one of my daughters. I don't mind telling you, it ain't going to be no Bible reading and carrying on. No. That's just the way I'm wired. Amen. Phil Mateo, he'll tell you I'm the stereotypical American male. That's not going to work. Amen. Oh, no. But here's the truth of the matter. God has called us to exercise some self-denial. Jesus said, if you're going to be like me, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. That is, you have to press those feelings down. Just because you feel like you're right doesn't make it right. Amen? If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to be the living dead, we have to suppress. Look, you know what Jesus said? Let me tell you what Jesus said. He raised this question. Profound question. He said, what good is it if you love those who love you. No. See, in order to be a footstep follower of Jesus Christ, you have to have some supernatural power. Amen? Somebody say supernatural. Listen, if you send me a Christmas card, it's natural for me to send you a Christmas card back. Amen. Anybody can do that. You don't have to have the Spirit of God to do that. That's kind of common sense right there. But what if I send you a Christmas card and you decide not to send me one back? The Christian thing to do is to not do what's natural. No. You have to go beyond what is natural and do what is supernatural. The supernatural thing to do is say, you know what? Although they didn't give me a Christmas card, I'm going to give them one anyway. Amen. See, to walk around and practice self-denial means that you and I are supposed to be patient with people who are not patient with us. I'm sure that our lovely pastor's wife, she can attest to that. Being in the school system, amen. You have to be patient with those children who are not patient with you. See, now you know why I'm not a teacher. Amen. You ought to praise God I'm not a teacher. I'd be the worst teacher in the world. What? What? Footstep follower of Jesus Christ. We have to practice some self-denial. Notice what Jesus said. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And then watch this. Take up his cross. That's powerful. Take up his cross. You got to wear a cross every day if you're going to follow Jesus. See, we don't wear our crosses because things are going to go well for us if we wear a cross. Oh, no. We wear a cross because we want to honor our Savior. We want to honor our God. We want to imitate the Lord. I look out there and I see Cindy, God bless her soul. Can you imagine what it's like to be bothered with a bunch of politicians? I know somebody's got to do it, but bless your soul. Bless your soul, my sister. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I can't. I know. Amen. I'm not the one. And she's down there dealing with all the stuff that she's got to deal with. It takes a lot to carry that cross. And I'm sure you walk into a room and you know good and well, okay, this ain't right. You can't tell me this is right, no kind of way whatsoever. But God has called her to deal with it. We are the living dead. Let me go on here to verse 25. The Bible says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Listen, not only do we see the requirements of the living dead, but we also see the reward of the living dead. The reward of the living dead. This is awesome right here. Jesus says something that is totally contradictory to common sense. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. You know, it's a sad thing in our American culture. Where we got people walking around who do not want to obey God's will for their lives. You know what I'm talking about. I don't mean to step on no toes, but that's my job. I'm a preacher. That's what I'm supposed to do. Put that stuff out of your mind that it's okay to run around here being player, as we say. You ever seen that? People just running around hooking up with each other and all that kind of stuff. Don't do that. Not only is it nasty and disgusting, it's just wrong. Listen to what Jesus said right here in verse 25. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You can walk around and run around doing all that ungodly stuff if you want to. Because it's your life and your body. You can do whatever you want to. You're right about that. But let me share something with you. One day you're going to have to stand before a holy God. And when you give an account for what you've done in this life right here, guess what? You'll lose it. It'll be gone for all eternity. The reality of the matter is that you will burn in hell, separated from a holy God. Eternal agony. The Bible describes it this way. It'll be the kind of suffering in a place where the worm does not die. Amen. Sometimes we are in traffic and we think that's bad. Well, let me just sit here and wait, listen to my music. Okay, right? Eventually it's got to give. But in that situation, it will not give. If you save your life, you will lose it. But notice the believer's reward. The Bible says here, this is the good news. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's awesome. Jesus said that whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. You and I have the responsibility as the living dead of losing ourselves in the Savior. Amen. You think Rocky, Randall, Bob, and all the other staff people here do what they do because they're having such a fantastic time? Amen? Talk to me. Is that what you really think? No, it does not work like that. No, 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 no. Talk to their wives. They'll tell you different. I promise you that. Because they got to deal with the aftermath of what goes on around here. You and I have to lose ourselves in the Savior. And the Bible says if we lose ourselves in the Savior, guess what? We'll find. He gives you a wonderful promise right there. This is God's will. You know, it's amazing how we start off and we say, you know what? I'm going to give my life to the Lord. And if I do what the Lord has called me to do, guess what? Everything's going to be fine. Let me tell you what I've discovered. When I do what the Lord has called me to do, I usually create a bigger mess. Amen. I'm not saying that you ought to go out and make a mess of your life. That's not the point. The point is that it's dangerous. It's a challenge to do what thus saith the Lord. Lose yourself in the Savior. And you'll reap a fantastic reward in the next life. We don't like to hear about that because we're a microwave society right now. But we're living this life in preparation for the next life. That's the reward. All these guys on TV selling miracle oil, that just fascinates me. You ever seen that? They're selling miracle oil and then miracle handkerchiefs and all that. I'm just amazed by that. That is not in the Bible. Can I share something with you? Let's just get raw for a minute. There are times when we walk around and we say, you know what? Why am I taking this? You ever feel that way? Gary, why am I dealing with this? I shouldn't have to take this. I should just ball up my fist and just knock him down. Well, I know y'all don't think like that. Just pray for me. But let me tell you why you should take it. Because 2,000 years ago, he took it for you. That's why. Wives are looking at their husbands thinking, oh, this guy is the biggest idiot. Why am I taking this? Why do I wake up every morning and deal with this guy? Because the Lord is dealing with you. Pray for him. Be patient with him. He can't help it. He's a man. That's just the way we are. We're stupid. Amen. That's right. And I'm old enough to just accept the fact. I don't have no problem admitting it now. I don't know what's going on. I just do what my wife tells me to do. Amen. Phil and I were laughing about that earlier. I said, Phil, where's your wife? Oh, she's getting ready for to sing in the choir. Okay, cool. Is she singing a solo today, Phil? You know what he told me? He said, I don't know. I said, Phil, you and I are too much alike, man. Too much alike. That's right. But you and I have been called to lose ourselves in the Savior. It's a wonderful adventure. But sometimes it's so hard. Put the flesh down. Crucify the flesh every single day. Amen. Make up your mind that you're not going to do your will, but you're going to do His will. Lord, you give me the words to say before I mess this up, because I want you to get the honor and the glory out of this. Thirdly, not only do we have the requirements of the living dead and the reward of the living dead, but we also have the risk of the living dead. Look at verse 26. I love this verse right here. And this is why I brought my King James Bible. Young people, one day you need to learn how to read the King James. You're going to thank me for this, okay? Watch this in verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is it? What good is it to run around doing your own thing and then get to the end of your life and stand before your Creator and realize, I have blown it. I have wasted it. Does that make sense? No. What does it profit a person to gain the entire world? You know, I watched certain TV shows with my children. And there's this one TV show I watch with my 18-year-old when I get a chance. It's called Jerseylicious. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that show, right? And it's a show about a hair salon in New Jersey, reality TV. And I really don't understand why it's, you know, so interesting to, but my daughter's 18 and I'm old. Anyway. Anyway, they talk about the smoky eyes, you know, and the different hairstyles and all that kind of good stuff. And my daughter, she's all over this, let me tell you. Okay? But from time to time, I have to ask her, baby, what purpose does it serve to have all the smoky eyes in the world? And you get to the end of your life and realize it's not even worth living. There's nothing wrong with smoky eyes. Just don't build your entire life around fashion and clothing and makeup and all that kind of good stuff. Don't do that. That's a profound question. When was the last time you asked somebody, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? With all the success mania that we have in this country? Then lastly, first of all, not only do we have the requirements of the living dead, the reward of the living dead, and the risk of the living dead, but fourthly and finally, we have Jesus' promise of the return for the living dead. Look at verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Listen, here's the truth right here. The bottom line is Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back for the living dead. Those people running around practicing self-denial and those people running around with the crosses on their backs. Look, he's coming back for those folk. And the ones that get left behind, they're in trouble. Which one are you going to be? Are you going to be the one who goes back with the Lord? Or are you going to be the one who's left behind to suffer his wrath and burn for all eternity? Easy choice to me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege I've had to stand before so great a people. I ask, O God, that you bless those, O God, who are in need of your presence. Lord, we don't know their circumstances. We don't know the details of their lives. But what we do know is that you are in control of everything that goes on. Lord, we love you. Lord, we confess today that we have not always practiced self-denial and we have not always crucified our flesh, O God. But we recognize, O God, today is another day that you've given us to do your will. Bless Rocky and all those who are on the missions trip, O God. Watch over them and bring them back to us safely, we humbly ask. In the name of Christ, amen.